Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's not David Paxton in New York. Instead, it is my good friend, Mr. Mark Sutherland, there from the United Kingdom. He is our KRRB expert of everything European and Israeli, and I sure need him today, let me tell you. Mark, thank you so much for joining us today for The Last Christian.
JD, it's lovely to see you. And no, I am not David Paxton. There's only one David Paxton. No one else can be David Paxton. And as a dear friend, I can say that. I don't know about an expert, but I will do what I can and do my best today. But it's lovely to join you, and thank you so much.
Oh, well, it is my honor, sir, to have you on here, and you are an expert, whether or not you want to believe it or not. You truly are. Mark, would you mind praying us into this into this one today? I think we need it for this topic, for sure.
I completely and utterly agree with you. We do need it. We do need it. But thank you, JD. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to get together. I just pray that you will give us the words. We want to be your mouthpiece and speaking the words, speaking the truth, speaking encouragement. And we thank you for all those people that are joining us now. JD and I have a huge responsibility because we're discussing scripture, we're discussing your word, and we do not want to get this wrong. So we just commit all of this to you in Jesus' name. Pray that we have no technical hassle in recording, nothing. Just bless this time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, Mark, I have recently, I don't know if I did this the last time you're on the show or not, but I have recently started putting topics on. Okay, we're kind of going to let people know exactly what we hope to talk about, but I always warn people that this show can go off the rails in a half second. Okay, so you never know. But anyway, we'll start with the week in review. We'll get that out of the way real quick. That's about 1 minute long. Then we're going to get into state-run media, the misinformation that the media is putting, even in some conservative circles, I might add. We're also going to talk a little bit about the relationship between the United Kingdom and the Americans. Seems to be a little strained right now. We'll talk about that. And then we're going to get into the main topic of this show, which is our prophecy watch of Zechariah chapter 12. And I do encourage everybody out there, if you have a Bible, go ahead and pick it up, get ready, because we're going to go into it pretty much in depth. But let's go ahead and let me see here. We're going to go ahead and get the week in review out of the way. Here we go.
This is News in 60 with Alan Edwards.
The ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is under strain due to delays in delivering tents and temporary housing to Gaza. Benjamin Wright with the latest.
Israel denies the accusations and has threatened to withdraw from the ceasefire if Hamas does not release more hostages as scheduled.
In Chicago, former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan has been convicted on multiple charges, including conspiracy, bribery, and wire fraud in a high-profile corruption trial. The Department of Government Efficiency, led by Trump ally Elon Musk, is shutting down hundreds of American aid programs abroad without sufficient documentation or justification. Jessica Oakley reports.
Now stranded in Washington, these staffers lack housing and agency payments.
The U.S. Coast Guard has released a suspected audio recording of the Titan submersible's final moments before its implosion during a deep sea expedition.
The release of this recording provides new insights into the tragic incident.
Okay, Mark, you heard him say something there. Again, I told you, even some conservative outlets now are providing misinformation to the world. And you heard him talking about Elon Musk there and said, you know, he doesn't have anything to prove anything. Okay, all right, well, let me educate them just a touch, okay? Just a little bit here. Okay, here are only a few examples of the waste and abuse. $1.5 million to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion in Serbia's workplaces and business communities. If you are a liberal and you agree with that, raise your hand. $70,000 for the production of a DEI musical in Ireland. If you support our money going for that, raise your hand. $2.5 million for electric vehicles in Vietnam. $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia. $32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru. $2 million for sex changes in LGBT activism in Guatemala. $6 million to fund tourism in Egypt. Hundreds of thousands of dollars for nonprofit linked to designated terrorist organizations, even after an inspector general launched an investigation. Millions to EcoHealth Alliance, which was involved in research at the Wuhan lab. That's where COVID-19 came from. Millions to EcoHealth Alliance, which was involved in research at the Wuhan lab. Hundreds of thousands of meals that went to Al-Qaeda-affiliated fighters in Syria. That's the group that brought down the Twin Towers in New York. Funding to print personalized contraceptive birth control devices in developing countries. Hundreds of millions of dollars to fund irrigation canals, farming equipment, and even fertilizer used to support the unprecedented poppy cultivation and heroin production in Afghanistan, benefiting the Taliban. The list literally goes on, and it's been happening for decades. Under President Trump, the waste, fraud, and abuse ends now. Hopefully, I educated the news just a little bit and exposed them for the frauds and the demons, I'll just say it, that they are. Mark, your comments.
I couldn't agree with you more. And when you read that list, and when I got to the Peruvian one, that rather upset me, considering I've been there and it's an incredible country, and not many years ago. But you go through that list, it's undeniable. What is going to be very, very interesting for me, because as America, this ripples from Washington, D.C. in this regard, it will go out across the world, J.D. So I'm curious to immediately find out how much this is going to affect us, our NGOs, what funding has been happening in regard to our NGOs. Now, there has been this comment about giving money to the BBC. It needs a little bit of investigation. There's a bit more of a nuance in that regard. Okay. I hope that that is not, that accusation has been out there. Mm-hmm. I hope that that is not true, because I think, no, cut all the money off. There's one particular NGO that came to my attention that I think is running in Saudi Arabia, that is either looking after certain antiquities of Saudi Arabia, and it's run by the wife of a pretty liberal ex-member of parliament over here, a gentleman called Corey Stewart. So there's a lot of, when we start to dig here, JD, we start to find out all sorts of things, and we go, so they've been supporting this, and they know this person, and they know that person, so much so that we then have to go back to Trump, number one, and look at all the Mueller investigation, Russia, and all that, and look at all these connections, and is there any funding from USAID in regard to that and some of those shenanigans that come up? Those accusations or comments on that are starting to come out there, JD, as well. So this has a ripple effect across the world, and it means it means that some people over here are already going to the government, well, we need this kind of
we need our own, we need this.
So that's my comment on it. And when people can't deny the list, and of course it's programming, and when you look at what they're trying to push in certain countries who would be standing against so much of this, I think they're going to be as surprised as we are in who has been funding this.
Yeah. Well, what I'm interested in, because it's going to come to it at some point, number one, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there's a huge difference in the signage that is behind the protesters, even the senators and the Congress people that come out and they're talking. You know how usually you see these professionally made signs that everybody's holding up? This time around, they're almost comical. And what that tells me is that even George Soros is backing off, saying, maybe I don't need to get myself into this one. These look like they're signs that are just made up by amateurs. The number of people that are attending these rallies, they don't even want to show you a group shot. And the reason they don't want to show you a group shot is because there's probably 50 people there. They're just making a lot of noise, and they're making an idiot out of themselves. But here's the main thing I wanted to get across. I believe that there are major kickbacks involved here, that people are making a mint on this stuff, and it's going to get exposed. And all these people that are making all the noise, they're going to come under scrutiny. And Biden didn't pardon all of them. And I'm not sure he pardoned them past the day that he left office, which means if they take one kickback after he left office, they can be prosecuted and they can be put in jail. They've been yelling about putting Trump in jail for years, but maybe it's their turn to start worrying. And
I think this is going to be really interesting, because just quickly, Robert Kennedy Jr. then said to Bernie Sanders how much he had taken from Big Pharma, mm-hmm. and of course the accusations against Elizabeth Warren, or as some people call her, Pocahontas.
Right.
That's another one. And the big thing is, Musk has said, how come these people come into government earning X amount on the salary, say $100,000, and then they leave and they've got $12 million in the bank? How does that work? Now, you and I would take a very educated guess on that, along with others. But that is what needs to be said and needs to be cleaned up.
Amen. Amen. Okay, I want to get the rest of the news portion out of the way, because I really want to get into this. Jerusalem, is it a heavy stone? Has it become a heavy stone? And hopefully that you guys are looking at Zechariah 12 already and starting to look at that, because what we're going to talk about there is very prophetic, and it's something that you guys had better get prepared for. But really, what I want to do here is just show number one. This is from President Trump. He took a very hard stance on Gaza, and you guys can read through that if you like. But he said if all the Gaza hostages aren't returned by Saturday at 12 p.m., which they were not, I'll just say that, he said, I would cancel a ceasefire and let all hell break loose. He said Israel can override it. That's Israel's decision. But as far as he's concerned, that he would cancel it and that all bets would be off there. Now, I'm going to show you here. This is from Reuters and from the Jerusalem Post about the Israeli hostages that have been released. And I'm not going to attempt those names at all there. But anyway, Hamas said that the terror groups in Gaza would release the three hostages, including one U.S. citizen, in accordance with the peace terms. Now, this was after they said that they weren't going to do it, okay? As you see there, it says this comes only days after Hamas threatened not to release any hostages, alleging that Israel violated the ceasefire, which they didn't. But anyway, Mark, did you know that they have already begun to celebrate and say, well, we put Trump in his place. He wanted them all, and we gave him three. Well, what they don't say is that if they hadn't have given three, they probably would be fighting right now and be fighting very, very hard and dying very, very much, because Trump is not going to put the kind of handcuffs on Israel that Joe Biden did. Trump is saying, go for it, do whatever you need to do, and the United States will stand behind you 100%. Your comments, sir.
Well, Jonathan Tobin, and also excellent, and also the brilliant Alex Minarat, who are on JNS News, were in discussion. People look it up. I mean, the comments that we make, we're researching, you know, we're looking at what other people are saying, trying to bring all that information to you. So we're not being clever in that regard.
Right.
But John, in Alex and Jonathan's discussion, the Biden administration desperately wanted a ceasefire of at least six weeks. Okay. Now, remember that at the center of the Democrats, where over the last few years, and the Biden administration, the Obama administration, previous Obama administrations, they wanted to get, whatever people think of Bibi Netanyahu, they wanted to get rid of him. They wanted basically, you'd say, regime change. The hostages that came that were released, I think, the previous week, where they look as though they've walked out of Belsen or Dachau or Auschwitz. Mm-hmm. It was horrifying. It was horrifying when you put the pictures next door to
I did that last week, Mark, for the people on the show. I did that. I showed the Holocaust pictures as well as their before capture and after capture pictures.
Good for you. I mean, it was horrifying, to be honest, to see that. And the poor state of these men, and also the way Hamas did that, the way the Red Cross were signing these people over, and all the rest. There's another an interesting piece of history in that regard, if we have time. But the key thing is that the state of them, and then one of the gentlemen didn't even know that his family had his wife and children had been murdered, and they think this is funny. No, this is not funny. These people are. There are no words to describe how evil they are. They need to release these hostages. We are going to see what is going to play out. Of course, Hamas would like to drag this out as long as possible, because it means a ceasefire. It means that they can regroup, so to speak, get whatever they need. Let's bring this in, and let's just say this for a fact. There's been thousands and thousands of tons of aid that's gone in, fuel that goes in every day, et cetera, et cetera. And no, there isn't a genocide. The last time I looked, I think there was an article from Save the Children Fund saying that 50,000 babies in Gaza had been born through the duration of the war. Well, if it's genocide, they're not doing very well. So I'll make that comment, but in regard to the hostages, we need these hostages released. We also don't know how many are alive.
Right.
And it's a horrendous situation to be in. And when we saw those pictures and were reminded of the Second World War, and reminded of the Shoah, reminded of that, of how they've just been disgustingly treated. They've been in the tunnels, in chains, et cetera, et cetera. I think words aren't good enough to actually explain and say this is an appalling situation, but it needs to be dealt with.
Let me say this. There was the hostage release this morning. They actually gave an hourglass to one of the hostages to hold with a picture of a hostage that was not released yet. It was their way of saying time's running out, and that went over very badly. I'll put it that way. But now you were talking about evil, okay? Well, I'm going to show you some evil. I don't believe that this has run on any American outlet. I don't care, CBS, NBC, whatever, whoever, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, even. I don't think anybody has seen this. So I'm going to play it for you. I want you to listen.
I'm a doctor, my man.
A doctor? What for what?
In hospital. What about you? Where are you from?
I'm from Israel, from the Holy Land.
You know what? I'm going to be really honest with you.
All right.
I'm going to be really honest with you. You actually got a really, really beautiful eyes.
Thank you, man.
But I'm so upset that you're Israeli. Like, eventually you're going to get killed and you're going to go to Jahannam, inshallah. These pretty eyes, they should stay in this world for longer.
Why do you think? Why do you think I'm gonna get killed?
It's Palestine's country, not
Hello.
Your country.
Hello. What's her name?
One day. Your time will come, and you will die. The most.
We spread.
Listen to me.
Peace.
Listen to me.
And
when
you spread.
When your time comes.
How are you, doctors?
Comes, wait. I want you to remember my face.
Okay,
so
okay.
Gotcha. That you will
I have
die
a question,
the most disgusting
though. All right, for sure. I have a question, though.
Yeah,
I have a question. Let's say an Israeli. God forbid.
I won't treat them. I'll kill them.
You'll kill them? So if an Israeli is in Australia and God forbid something happened to him and he comes
Not
to your
forbid,
hospital,
I hope to God.
Would you
Listen,
kill him?
You have no idea how many Israeli Khara dog came to this hospital and I sent it to Jahannam.
For real?
That is evil. Now, I understand that these people are now saying, it was all an act. It was all comedy. I see no comedy in that.
No.
At
no.
all.
No, I've seen that, JD. I've seen that, JD. Dear Abby, who works for Rebel News in Australia, who's an absolutely incredible reporter, has been, particularly, you know, through the whole COVID years, goes to Davos, doorsteps, people like Larry Fink at Davos, etc., etc. Abby exposed that, did a big, wonderful piece on that. People look it up. That was for real. That was horrendous. That was out of order. But I will say this. Is that, and as Abby shows it on his footage, is the amount of people within their health service that have been supporting Palestine, mm-hmm. a place that there is no such country as right. Palestine. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist. Let's just say this, that up until 1967, Egypt was in charge of Gaza. So we'll just say that. Mm-hmm. Gaza is Israeli territory. Which they withdrew from in 2005 to basically, you could then say, to have a two-state solution. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. they shouldn't have done that. I'll just publicly say that. We'll wait for all the exercises of criticism to come in. But there's a lot of history to go to. But that footage in Australia is appalling. And I don't think the Prime Minister of Australia was robust enough on pushing back in that regard, because that is blatant anti-Semitism. There's right. been there was a fire in a synagogue in Australia. There's been some appalling things that have gone on mm-hmm. over the last few years. And don't forget, at the Sydney Opera House on the 7th of July, the next day, you know, there is someone celebrating the fact that the awful events happened on the 7th of October mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. is saying how happy he is, etc., right. etc.
Right.
So that was utterly appalling. And also, just to say, in the same footage that Avi then covered, the family of either that gentleman or the girl then objected to the fact that reporters came and doorstopped their house mm. and they were not very happy about that. Mm-hmm. Well, if they're not very happy about that, they then need to change their attitude and frankly not behave like that. But it's been revealed, the attitude, and the attitude is beyond words.
Yeah. Well, they should be prosecuted. You know, if they mm-hmm. have committed murder, then they should be prosecuted and convicted.
That's hate speech.
Yeah,
that's
exactly hate speech. Exactly. Okay, now, Mark, real fast here. We've only got like 5 minutes left in the first half of the show, and I'm going to spend the whole second half, for everybody, heads up here, I'm going to spend the whole second half of the show on Has Israel Become a Heavy Stone for All Peoples? I want to put this up real quick. I'm going to run through this. I want you to comment on this, but after we get through with this little part here, I want to give you at least a minute or two to tell people about what you're doing over there in the United Kingdom. So anyway, this is the UK Prime Minister, Keir Starmer. Sounds like a German to me. I don't know why.
Keir Starmer.
Branded as a danger to the U.S., that he is facing mounting backlash over his plans to hand over the, what is that, Mark, the Chagos Islands?
The Chagos Islands.
Okay. Now, I don't know anything about this, Mark, and I've got a couple of slides here, but I've got you, and you're the expert. So you tell me, what's going on with this, and why should we here in the United States care?
You should care, and we care. Those patriots over okay. here care. Mm-hmm. There are islands, the Chagos Islands, that are near Mauritius. And the bottom line is that we are then wanting to hand over the sovereignty of those islands to mm-hmm. back to Mauritius. You have a base there. You have okay. a base there. I think it's... Garcia is the base, or Diogo okay. Basic Garcia is the base. That's what okay. you have. We haven't really talked to America about this, blah, blah, blah. The problem is, what you've got, we are now got a prime minister that's a total legalist. He is a lawyer and believes in international law, which is another interesting discussion going through the history of him, which we don't really have time for, which we need to do. So this is where it is, and they want to hand it back with billions and billions of pounds from the UK that we cannot afford. But this is a strategic base for the United States in that region. Okay. If you then have to deal with China, that's why this is not good.
Okay. Well, that sums it up perfectly. Now, I want to give you the remaining time here in this first half of this show to tell people, because, you know, you do a lot of great work, Mark, and I want to give people a taste of that, and also be sure and give them the MarkSutherland.org as well, to where people can take a look at that. But the floor is yours, sir.
J.D. Vance, your vice president, has just attended the Munich Security Conference. Mm-hmm. He made a speech on Friday, as you and I are sitting down here on Saturday. He made a speech on Friday, February the 14th. And he talked about, he actually mentioned the UK. He was concerned about the attack on free speech within the UK, mm-hmm. Which I thought was just superb to hear him say that.
Yeah,
the socialist construct within the European Union has gone into total meltdown and disapproval of what he said. And in regard to that, as you know, in June 2016, 17,410,752 people, with a majority of over a million, voted out to leave the EU. Our present Prime Minister has done whatever he can to get us back in and wants us to then realign with the EU without necessarily saying we are rejoining it. Mm-hmm. So just quickly, we are in the UK, there are laws that say that around the perimeters, the perimeters of abortion clinics, you cannot protest there, etc., etc. And in fact, even pray silently. A lady has been arrested for that in the past. And then J.D. Vance mentioned a dear British gentleman who was arrested for praying outside an abortion clinic. He had become a Christian, and he was praying for the child that had been aborted, and praying then for his then partner had been through that. And repenting of that, he then got arrested for praying outside an abortion clinic. J.D. Vance raised that, which is rather, rather interesting, because we are looking at more and more tyranny unfolding in the UK, where free speech is under attack, where you get these non-crimes, where you can be reported for having the wrong views. The police will be sent to you. I won't go into it. That's just happened to someone I know personally.
Well, Mark, I got to cut you off. I'm sorry, but we've run out of time here in the first half, and I'm going to let you finish up there in the second, and then we'll move on. Y'all hang in there with us.
Are you weighed down by life's issues and challenges? Do you need rest from the day-to-day grind? Then the Word of God broadcast is your listening station. The Word of God broadcast is a Christ-centered ministry, sharing God's marvelous Word. Here you will find you rest from the things of the world. Join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on Revelation Radio Broadcast. The Word of God broadcast plants the seeds, and the Holy Spirit adds the essential nutrients to ensure every soul's growth for the harvest of Jesus' soon return. If you want to learn more about God's Word, eternal life, and His Son, Jesus Christ, join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different: Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. support your immune system, and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Sorry about that. I lost my place there for a second for some strange reason. That was weird. Anyway, Mark, I cut you off in the first half, and I don't want to leave it like that. I want you to be able to finish your thought, and then we're going to talk about Zechariah 12.
Well, basically, they've got these non-crime reporting. If you're reported to the police because basically someone doesn't like your opinion, mm-hmm. This is where we're reaching. And I was just saying that has actually happened to very, very recently to a friend of mine, and I'm not going to go into other details. There's also happened a few days ago to another podcaster that's gaining traction over here as well, because people are going, oh, we don't like your views, say they're on the left, he's on the right of center. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, we don't like this. So we have definitely reached this situation. Just quickly, I mean, and I need to be going into this more investigation and also doing this on various other shows. But our Prime Minister stepped down from being a member of the Trilateral Commission in 2022. Mm. If people want to look up people like Patrick Wood of Technocracy News, A.C. Sutton, Trilaterals over Washington, created in 1973 by one person being David Rockefeller. So here we go. So it supersedes the Council of Foreign Relations. That's a show for another day, JD, that we should do.
Okay, I agree with you. Okay, now, Mark, we're going to talk now about, has Jerusalem become a heavy stone for all peoples? And the best way for me to start this out is just to put the scripture itself up here for everybody to see. And this is the coming deliverance of Judah. And I'm going to read this one, and Mark, I'm going to ask if you can to read along with me on the second one here. But the coming deliverance of Judah in Zechariah 12, verse 1 through 3, the burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples, when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all peoples. All who heave it away will surely be cut to pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. Now, I see this as prophetic scripture that all the nations of the world are now, they are looking at Jerusalem as a heavy stone, as, in other words, as a huge problem for everybody. Do you agree that this is prophetic? I mean, to me, some people said this has happened before, but no, it hasn't, has it?
No, and you've got to tie it up with Isaiah 66, where God is talking about, Isaiah is prophesying, can I build a nation in a day?
Right.
And the people coming back back to the land. There's been no other time in time in history that that's happened. I believe this is prophetic. We are seeing events roll out now and the changing map of the Middle East in a way that you and I would never, ever have thought of at all. Who would have thought of what had been happening to Syria? Who would have thought that that Israel has been fighting a seven-front war? And look at what has gone on up until this point. And we get time to actually talk about what the Egyptians are up to right now. But no, definitely, it says this. At the end of the day, the whole of world history focuses on, as much as this is uncomfortable for some, because they believe in replacement theology, they believe that the church has replaced Israel, they cannot see that there are two plans that are going on at the same time. They then forget, I think, as Romans 11, 23, 25 talks about, that we as Christians, we have been grafted into the root.
Amen.
Okay. And that root goes back to the land of Israel. It's going back to Jerusalem. We have been grafted in until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Now, they have been blinded. Now, that is a total mystery to me. And we need to be grateful and step back and be grateful. The other two chapters leading on in Zechariah here, they're not comfortable because they talk about what is going to happen to the Jewish people that are residing in the land as we are entering the final time. But it is a stumbling stone. You go back to everyone wanting a peace deal, trying to solve this, trying to solve that. We go back to 1922 when Churchill gave away 78% of the land that was promised as the land of Israel, to the land of the Jews. So there is such a complex history here. But to me, and how I read this of scripture, and you and I would get criticized by various people for this, but it is a stumbling block, totally. Yes. We are each people, that whole truism where it talks about in Genesis 12, if you bless my people, I will bless you. If you curse my people, I will curse you. Mm-hmm. There is a written law on how we should behave in regard to praying for the peace of Jerusalem, praying for Israel. Mm-hmm. So it's God's chosen land with God chosen people group. Mm-hmm. Are they perfect? Of course not.
No.
And nor is the UK, and nor is the United States of America.
Right.
But this is God's heart. And as we know, that all the lands will, everyone will be focusing on Israel, will be focusing on Jerusalem. And maybe that time to that point, JD, is getting quicker and quicker and quicker.
That's it. That's a perfect thing there, because news is so fast now that I change up shows from morning to afternoon. I mean, it's really that drastic. One thing I want to point out here before we go on to the next slide is that you got to remember that really the land of Israel lay kind of in waste for almost 2,000 years. I mean, nobody really wanted it. There, who was it? Mark Twain, I believe, that went over there and said he'd never seen such desolation or all this, you know. And now, now it flourishes. I mean, it's unbelievable, and everybody wants it, right? So now let's look at this one, Mark, and I'm going to let you read this one. This is Zechariah 12, and it's verses 4-6.
Right, I'm just. Where have they gone? I'm just gonna grab that. Okay. I can't quite see that at the beginning. So four till six. I'll read it out of this, out of my Bible. Okay. In that day declares the Lord, I will strike every horse with bewilderment and its rider with madness. But I will watch over the house of Judah while I strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. Then the clans of Judah will say in their hearts, a strong support for us are the inhabitants of Jerusalem through the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day I will make the clans of Judah like a firepot among pieces of wood, and a flame torch among sheaves, so they will consume on the right hand and on the left all the surrounding peoples, while the inhabitants of Jerusalem again dwell their own sites in Jerusalem.
Amen. And you know what's beautiful about that is that what I have on screen, Mark, that you can't see, and I apologize for that, is that the version that I'm posting there is the New King James Version. I'd be interested in what version that you were reading from there.
The American Standard Version.
Okay. And now the reason I've said that is not to point out difference, but to point out that they're both the same.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that to me. Now, tell me about this blindness thing, because I know there are people out there. What you've got to understand is a lot of our audience is secular, and, you know, they read things exactly as written or as exactly as spoken, and they don't understand. So what is this blindness of the horses and all this kind of stuff? Can you go into a little bit there and give an explanation there that would...
Are we talking about armies that are coming against Israel? Is that what we are about there, JD? Mm-hmm. Because the whole... other nations will get together and come against Israel to say, you know, I'm just my opinion, say, right, we've have enough, we need to deal with this problem, or we now want the spoils there, and the spoil is Jerusalem.
Amen.
Is God's capital. That is what we want. You made a very, very interesting comment when you talk about Mark Twain and the desolateness of it. And scripture talks about how it will bloom. We look at how it will bloom, which it does now. Amen. And I'll be honest, it's like all scripture, we're working hard to try and get this right. And we're also working hard to try and get this right because we've got many, many people that think that the nation of Israel should not exist, it shouldn't be there, etc., etc., right? There's so much history to explain. But I believe that this alludes to nations attacking Israel.
I believe that's correct, yes. I believe that is 100% correct. And, you know, the way things are going right now, we are seeing the lead up to it.
It's very interesting you say that. And I wanted to make this point because it's really, really important that we listen to all sorts of other shows, other people's opinion as well. So I think there's a fantastic show called The Israel Guys, and they were having a discussion a couple of days ago where at the moment one of the guys on their military experience, I think an expert, is saying that Egypt has got 3,500 tanks, Israel has 2,500. So Egypt is amassing on that border. They have, you know, a lot of aircraft as well. So they are moving their military hardware into position. Now, as you know, they haven't opened the Rafah Gate and the Philadelphia Corridor down there. We also are aware of the amount of massive tunnels that had been built from Egypt into Gaza. They have a strong border there. The last thing they want is anyone from Gaza coming in because they are concerned about a Muslim Brotherhood influence.
They don't want the terrorists,
and they don't want that coming into Egypt.
Now, I totally agree with you. I've seen those tanks. I've showed them on shows in the past where they show them right on the Gaza border. And in my opinion, this is strictly my opinion, okay? But in my opinion, Egypt's too afraid to attack Israel because they did that already and it didn't turn out well. But if they've got the support of a superpower, aka Russia, they would have no problem in making that move. At the same time, the way I read scripture, Egypt takes a pass on the Gog and Magog war. So let's see. Let's see what happens.
Well, that's interesting. And also, as people have alluded to, the Sinai Desert, as God is saying to Abraham, I will give you this land, you know, etc. There is borders. Mm-hmm. And that the Sinai Peninsula there, when in 1967, I think, you know, they were an hour from Cairo, etc.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They took all that land. And this is the land that God has promised them. Now,
Amen.
Now we end up going, we go into territory that is extremely unpopular for so many, because it was national boundaries that were drawn up by under Cisco-Pico, under that members of the civil service, the UK civil service, with a ruler and a pencil, and started drawing up Iraq, Saudi, etc., etc., and all these, and drawn was Transjordan, etc., and drawing all these borders. Those borders are changing. We are, as I said again, we go back to what's happening in Syria. So this is, it's going to play out, JD. And of course, the other thing is, there's beginning to be in discussion, which has been there for a long time, which is the whole thing of the rebuilding of the temple.
Amen.
As well.
Yeah.
So these are prophetic events that are unfolding and in discussion.
Yeah. Well, the third temple's coming. You know, and people, if you are watching this show after we're gone, and I mean by that, watching us on some kind of a tape relay or something, don't take the mark of the beast. This is the best thing I can tell you on that. But I wanted to go back just for a second to that initial attack back just on the very day that they became a country. What you've got to keep in mind here is that they were only 3 years removed from the Holocaust. And if you can imagine a country that didn't even have an army yet, half the people hadn't even recovered yet. They had, I believe it was 3 airplanes, if I remember correctly, that were crop dusters. That was their air force. And they were attacked, as I said, the minute that they became a country. And they flew those crop dusters out, and one person was flying them, and the other person was throwing bombs out the side of them. And they defeated all of the Egyptian armies that came from them from all directions. They beat them so badly that they took all their territory away from them. And that's the reason that, like I said before, Egypt doesn't really want to go and do that again.
I want to add some other history in that regard.
Sure, go right ahead.
I think they had more than crop dusters, but the crop dusters were being used. We know people throwing bombs up. They also had... from memory, either some reconstituted Spitfires and Messerschmitts that they put together. An interesting name comes forward, which is a man called Robert Maxwell, who was Ghislaine Maxwell's father. Mm-hmm. And Robert Maxwell then was an agent for Israel at that time. And they ended up, the planes were then assembled, I think, in either Czechoslovakia or Yugoslavia. I apologize for my not being able to get
then they came in
and the Egyptians were shocked that these planes appeared. Now there's a very good program about that, produced by Nancy Spielberg, called Above and Beyond in 2014. I had the privilege to work on that. So look that up. The story of the creation of the Israeli
idea. Would you give that movie name again, please, for the people out there?
Above and Beyond. Above and Beyond, produced by Nancy Spielberg. So an incredible story, especially as America was trying to stop Israeli pilots actually leaving America, and there were some carry-ons over here, which is rather interesting. But if you go through wars, if you go through 67, 73, and also seeing the miracles, I think in 73, when the Syrian tanks were coming over the Golan Heights, and it was as though God's hand just came down and stopped them.
Yeah, and I remember also there was some talk also of seeing angels. So anyway, that is another show. Okay, to continue here, simply in the interest of time, I'm going to put this up real quick. This is Zechariah 12, 7 through 9, which says, "The Lord will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not become greater than that of Judah. In that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." You want to go into that one a little bit?
Well, I think this is, if I have this correct, okay, as it talks about even the feeble will fight like King David, and this is then leading up to, as the other two chapters talk about, is that leading up to the return of Christ, and leading up to a very what's that word here here, which is a very good explanation, a very contrite heart as they recognize Christ as their Messiah.
Yeah, and we're going to, I'm just about there, by the way. I want to throw this in real quick, and that is that it has come out in the past few days that the Biden administration was putting a lot of pressure on Israel, to the point that they were even saying, if you don't do what we tell you to do, we won't provide you with any arms or any support. And as I said, this is just being released here in the last couple of days, and you guys can go out there and look it up for yourself. I promise you'll find it. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu looked at President Biden, and he said, "We will fight with our fingernails if we have to." In other words, we're going to do what we got to do, with or without you, and we'll win. Now, that's a pretty strong statement from a tiny country the size of New Jersey, that is surrounded on all four sides by enemies. But he meant it, and he stuck to it, and he was successful. Now, before you go on, in the interest of time, I'm going to put together these last few scriptures, and then we'll talk about it. This is what Mark was beginning to talk about, the mourning for the pierced one. Zechariah 12, verses 10 through 12, which says, "And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me, whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning at Hadad Rimmon, in the plain of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn, every family by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, and the wives by themselves, the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Levi by itself, and the wives by themselves, the family of Shimei by itself, and the wives by themselves, all the families that remain, every family by itself, and the wives by themselves." Now, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, this comes from the Old Testament, and it speaks of Jesus Christ, that the Jews recognize him finally. And of course, I'm sure you've got more scripture on it, and you got 5 minutes, sir, go ahead.
Well, the key, I think is Isaiah 53, where it's talking about the crucifixion of of Christ.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So at this time, then we can't say it any clearer than the way that Scripture lays it out, which is mourning, which is recognizing their Messiah.
Right.
It's recognizing their Messiah, mm-hmm. And in one sense, it becomes complex because there's the duality that is going on. We have our personal salvation. When it's talking about referred to Romans 11, it's blinded until the time of the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Right. They've been blinded on our behalf. Mm-hmm. Now, they didn't recognize Jesus, which right. breaks our heart.
Right.
But they will mm-hmm. come. They will come to recognize him mm-hmm. as world events are then moved by God's hand to bring that about, because the whole focus will be on Jerusalem. And you just talk about that with Bibi saying that to Biden. Mm-hmm. You look at that. We will fight with our fingernails if we have to. Look at those verses that back that up, that even the most feeble will suddenly be fighting like a lion, like King David.
Amen.
Absolutely. And I think, not being clever, and we, as you quite rightly say, we're having to keep catching up. Events are moving so fast that this book is unfolding in front of our eyes.
Amen. Amen. It really is. Every day. I see it every single day. And I've said this on many shows in the past, but I used to struggle to put shows together. You know, the news, it was kind of trickle. And now I can't keep up with it. I got so much stuff. I can't condense it down enough. Like today, I left out a whole bunch of stuff that I had ready to go. And it's simply because things are unfolding so very quickly that I just put everything in there. I put everything in, and then when the show hits, okay, let's go with whatever is most recent. And it's a struggle, because the Lord said that once things get rolling, it's going to speed up and speed up and speed up, and that is exactly what is going on right now. So
absolutely. And I just want to, if we've got time, 30 seconds, I just want to say this. In Zechariah 14, verse 3, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights on a day of battle. In that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives.
Amen.
Which is in front of Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus returns to the Mount of Olives. This is what Scripture says here.
Amen.
And the ramifications of that. And I will say this very politely. One thing that we need to be praying about, that dear President Trump or anyone in his administration doesn't think that it's perfectly okay to divide Jerusalem.
Right.
No.
Right.
No, no, no.
Agreed.
And events are going to play out. Because if you start pushing this kind of thing, and I think the two-state solution is fully off the table, frankly, within Israel on all sides politically. But it's something that we need to be very aware of.
I agree 100%. And David and I were talking in another show about our concern that that President Trump might act to split up Jerusalem. I'm praying that doesn't happen.
Amen.
He was talking about Gaza, taking Gaza. Well, he didn't really say he's going to take Gaza or anything. You know, it's kind of like he's borrowing it, is the way I understand it, just to try to fix it up and push the Palestinians out. But I think that it's really more of a negotiating tool to get Egypt to do something, to get Syria to do something, all that. But anyway, we'll see how all that plays out. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ yet as your Lord and Savior, you need to do so, because the rapture can happen at any time. All you got to do is say that quick prayer of salvation. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I know Jesus Christ died for me on the cross, and I know he's coming back to get his church. I promise to follow you all the rest of the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Until next time, everybody, good night and God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show, available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net. This powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.